What is up, everybody? We have a dadgum podcast.
Finally.
Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Well, I only said dadgum with a microphone in front of my face. I've realized this.
Well, you haven't labeled yourself as Grandpa Chase lately. That feels very Grandpa Chase.
Lately is incorrect because I literally just did it because I went on a rant on Facebook about kids.
You did. Spring break. I appreciate it. Like, get off my lawn. It was amazing.
Anyway, hey, Vertical has a podcast now.
Vertical Plus.
Vertical Plus.
What does the plus mean?
I don't know. Groat named it. Austin didn't.
But I was close.
You were about
I had
seconds
it in the
away.
Queue. It was very close.
There's actually a big internal argument going on about that, which I think only adds to the legend already of this podcast.
But they'll never Groat know. Isn't here, so I can claim it.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah. Groat will be joining us.
At some point,
as well
next
as
week,
other
maybe?
Staff members. Right now, we have Megan, who I think we should introduce as a staff member.
I think I'm a staff member.
Too
I
soon
feel like
for
I am.
The newest, but yes, a
yes,
staff member.
Yes, I started last week.
Yeah, so maybe we should let the audience know why we're sitting behind microphones.
I think you should do that.
Oh, should I?
Yes. Sounds like a Ben job.
Okay, well, here
You're
we
in
go.
Charge.
So
go
the,
for it.
The plus means that we are sitting behind microphones once a week to talk about things that we don't have time to talk about on other public forums. We have a limited service, which we're very proud of. We try to keep our services under an hour. I've actually blown right through that barrier for a couple of weeks.
Recently.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and have received a lot of accountability for that. But there's just a limited amount of time to talk about certain things that go on in our community. And quite frankly, we appreciate behind-the-scenes content more than we appreciate polished content. And I think that's a huge cultural trend. And this podcast is trying to meet that need. The people in our community want to know more about why we do the things that we do. And also, it's the way that we go about arranging Vertical Church anyway. We're a really large community of friends. And this feels more friend-like than a guy being on a stage, giving a speech, and moving through series. So we're going to make ourselves available to sit with some difficult questions, have difficult questions from people in the community that are asking those to us. And also bat things around as a group of people based on what's going on currently inside of culture and inside of Vertical Church.
Right. A lot of what we do will be based around kind of unpacking what happens on Sunday mornings, because that's probably our most prominent, is our most prominent platform. But we don't like being pigeonholed. So
no
literally
doubt.
Whatever we want to talk about, we'll do it.
Well, in reality, we're having these conversations anyway. Chase is just like, maybe we grab a mic. And,
we should record this.
Put it out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because I think people misunderstand that we agree on all the stuff that we put out there.
Yeah, it's like, not Ben just saying, here's what's happening this week, and we say, cool.
Yeah, there are lots of really healthy arguments, and we're a group of people, especially as a staff, that appreciate conflict, healthy conflict. Because the topic of God is gigantic, and how churches should operate, that's a gigantic topic. How
yes,
do you engage in messy relationship with each other? And the danger, I think, of especially the American church that is so good at phrases and making things sound pretty, the danger is people would assume that's what following Jesus looks like. And hopefully this podcast will just completely destroy that stereotype.
Single-handedly.
Yeah, we're good at that. Let's blow it up.
Good. Even our own stuff.
Yeah, even our own stuff. Yeah, because
that's okay.
The fact is we make mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Right?
We make mistakes, and we need to be able to talk about those mistakes quickly. Mm-hmm. I don't want to wait for some huge meeting 6 months down the road and say, yeah, that was kind of a bad idea.
Yeah.
If something doesn't work, we tried it, and it didn't work, and let's talk about why it didn't work. And especially we needed to give Austin an opportunity to talk about bone density behind a microphone and what happens when a man goes into space.
Yeah.
We've had to listen to that speech, I don't know, for it feels like 3 or 4 months.
Really,
now.
This is just a place for me to air out all these theories that they have to listen to every week, and they're just over it. So they're give them a mic, it's done.
Let's just jump right in here and say this, first of all. The Fire Festival was your idea.
Yes.
Not the actual festival, but to talk about it.
I don't know. I bought stock. I'm still recouping.
Still waiting for my sandwich, but
right,
we'll get it.
I saw a post just this past week that said 2020 brought to you by the organizers of the Fire Festival. I thought that was perfect.
Accurate.
It feels so much that way. Like, you have overpromised and underdelivered this year.
Yep.
everything.
Every meme that's happening right. New year, new me.
We're ready to move on. So, all right. So what do we jump into? We've wrapped up a series.
Yeah. Speaking of mistakes, let's get into Job a little bit.
Yeah. Which kidding. Also Ooh. Was Austin's idea.
Yeah. All the bad ideas were mine. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why we let you wrap it up.
What I want to hear first is Megan's response or take on this series, because it's one of the first times ever that this church has jumped into, let's go to the Old Testament, Yes. Completely. And let's
not
talk
the
about
entire Old Testament, but like a whole series based around.
Whole series. Yeah. One of the most difficult stories in that portion of the sacred text. What's been your take?
You know, we're kind of famous for, you know, bringing up hard topics around here, things that aren't always discussed from stage. And we get a lot of pushback for that. But I think Job brought things up in a different light. It brought up topics like depression and what do I do next and why does God let these things happen? And so for me, it was one that it made me think more. It helped me relate to some different people who had reactions to the series and questions about it. And then even just this last week, what perfect timing for Austin's talk. We pick at him, but, you know, just what do I do next? Like, why are we here and where do we go from here? So it was a tough series, not a happy, lighthearted series. It was a tough series, but I think the timing was on point. And I think the way that you guys taught it, even the lengthier weeks, it was much needed.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it honors this book or this story holds a special place for you.
Sure.
I think that's...
Austin is who you were pointing to.
Yeah, deserving to say. Well, he said sure.
We're not on camera now?
Yeah. Austin likes to talk. Sure doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, right. Maybe that should be a whole episode. When Austin says sure... What is he actually?
Which sure did Austin just say
which
right there?
Which sure?
Was that like
Caitlin could
sure
write a book?
Or sure.
Yeah. Yeah, stay
Caitlin,
tuned.
Your wife?
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
But you, you came in hot with this idea with Job because it means something to you. I've been curious as we've talked it out as a community, has it held closely to what the story of Job has meant for you personally over
sure,
the years?
Sure, yeah. Oh, there we go.
There
sure.
we go.
notice the inflection. When we were writing out, you know, ideas for series in the fall, Job is one that I really kind of felt like I had to champion a little bit, even when we were pitching these ideas to the staff. I didn't know how pertinent it would be then, but I knew how pertinent it had been to me in the past, in that Job is a book that's full of questions. And I think that it was a win, if for no other reason than we talked about hard things, like you said. And secondly, we got to point out the fact that it's okay to ask God questions. And I felt like we were kind of hammering that each week.
Every week.
But you can't look at Job without coming to that conclusion, you know. And so weeks one, week two, week three, each week we were presenting new questions that Job had of God, his friends had of God, and that we should probably be asking about God. And what we boiled down to in this last week was we get to figure those things out together. That's why God has placed us in communities, so that we can work those questions out in the context of community. But that's a healthy thing to do. You know, we're going to be asking questions as long as we're here, and Job kind of puts an emphasis on that.
I think if Job lived in our area and had to decide where to go to church, he would go to Vertical Church. It seems like he matches the people that sit in our gray chairs, in that we've had some experience with God, some history with God. A lot of us have tried to do the right thing to make sure we're in good standing. And then life totally just unravels. We go through this lengthy period of what in the world just happened. And then we have people around us giving us advice, mostly religious people, because of where we exist in the world.
Yeah.
That kind of ends up empty for us, and we feel a little bit spiritually homeless. Then somebody shows up and says, look, there's a church, there's a place that talks about real things.
Right.
You're going to get the information that you need. And we see this community as preparatory in a lot of ways to the work that God has already been trying to do in people's lives. Chapter 42 in this book really shows us this, that God shows up with a vengeance, and Job is prepared for that. The more I've thought about that series, the more I've thought about, man, this is exactly the profile of the kind of people that are attracted to Vertical Church because of our mission and vision. So
yeah, and I think that came up often each week, that you would get off stage or I would get off stage. It felt like we were being bombarded by people that were like, that is exactly what's going on right now. And even before this health crisis, you know, God's hand was totally in that this series came up when it did. You know, there were people that were going through diagnosis the week before we started Joe. There were people that passed away in our community right before we started Joe. The timing could not have been any better, and it seems like something that folks honed in on.
Yeah, so for the behind the scenes portion of it, we go into a series having planned it and worked on graphics and all sorts of things
months ago.
And you wonder, have we made the right call? Yeah. You know, I don't know if people who are outside of a church setting, church staff setting, know that we think that way, but we're like, was this a good idea? How's this going to go? And then it has felt like we have essentially felt the blessing of God, the pleasure of God, like, sure. Way to go, guys. This is the kind of thing that I want you talking about. And it's interesting, as we discuss it as a staff, what do we talk about mostly? Not the auditorium, but the lobby. We talk about the lobby the most. Man, I had this conversation with this person, with that person. They were asking me questions. I mean, was it week one where I talked about the buckets?
Yes.
Those beautiful buckets that Chase put together.
You are so welcome. I definitely didn't steal them from the internet.
At the last minute, you know, that was a fun meeting. Chris Grote was like, so you want like cylinders or...
Chase is like, you want real buckets on the stage?
Do you want us to label the buckets?
And that's the lack of communication, because Ben and I are in teaching team meeting before we take it to creative. We're like, I don't know, buckets would be great.
That'd
I
be
think.
Fine.
Yeah, that
buckets,
should be easy, right?
then no more props.
You feel that decision hit the other people in the room. They're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You're going to do what with buckets?
What do y'all do in this meeting?
Yeah. But that talk after the buckets, I had three really intense conversations, two between services and one after. Of, hey, I was with you until you got to that God's purposes thing. And those folks needed me to clean that up. And I had to say in that conversation, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I can look at the life of Jesus. I can look at some things that Jesus said and did that make that bucket make more sense. But I can't make it make complete sense in a way that you're comfortable on your drive home.
Sure.
Which is a little bit of a scary place, because as a minister, my gosh, you want to have an answer. But Job just did not allow us to do that as much as we preferred. So I want to talk about maybe some stuff that we weren't able to bring out from stage, maybe some stuff that hit you, Megan, and you, Chase, as you were rolling through it. Like, this particular thing made me more curious. I think that'd be helpful.
Sure.
Who's up?
At Megan, at Chase.
Nose guys. Go ahead, Chase.
No, you go ahead.
No, you started talking first. You really should.
You guys are being way too friendly.
It's just who we are. We're both threes.
This is not the normal here.
No, it really isn't.
Usually we're batting to talk.
Let's be real.
Let me talk. I don't know. There's so many questions that come with Job, which is like the biggest thing we point out, because a lot of people tend to fast forward, especially in the Bible Belt. They fast forward to when Job gets it all back. Mm. But, you know, the reason I think Ben goes into the whole Job would go to vertical thing is because, you know, we say, wait a minute. There's a lot of questions for like 40 chapters of this book,
between,
you know,
yeah.
Right? The cosmos stuff is honestly what's always been most interesting to me. This would be hard to elaborate on, but just like the coolest part of Job, you know, despite all the things that are going on, is how God chooses to interact with Job when he's finally like letting him know what's up. But another thing that was always interesting to me was how God allowed the devil to, interact with Job this way. Mm-hmm. You know, I think if I were someone that didn't know a lot about how God operated, that would raise a red flag for me, just because of, you know, the whole Bible, the rest of it talks about this enemy that's out the Silicon and destroy, you know, but then God's allowing him to work in Job's life this way. It seems a little confusing, and maybe that's something that you guys could walk into a little more than you could on a Sunday.
Oh, without a doubt, that week two,
right?
That's the hardest talk I've ever had to give.
Yeah,
I'm in there like just reading this passage over and over and being like, why am I doing this?
Or maybe what mindset were you operating from with the answers you gave to that question, you know, because you built the whole talk around what's happening here. You know?
Well, and just again, a little transparency, the way that we work out these things, neither Ben nor I work out these talks in isolation.
Correct.
It's something that we've talked about months in advance, and we're meeting more and more as we go. And even the week of, you know, we're double checking one another and make sure that we're accurate. It is a great feeling to be able to sit in a gray chair on Sunday and hear Ben communicate something well that, you know, may have been my idea or something that we came up together and be like, wow, that is working at a high level. And so that was definitely taking place in week two. Mm-hmm. My assumptions going into week two, where I'm reading this, I'm seeing that God is allowing this to happen in Job's life, and chime in where you want, Ben. Reading that, the number one thing in my mind is, this looks bad. You know, I know the end of the story, though, and I know that God is good, and I know that I'm working off of the truth that Ben had pointed out in week one, that he is doing this for his purposes, mm-hmm. which we know are good. So now I have to find a way to reconcile God's words to Satan in chapter one, knowing that he is bringing something about. Like we said at the end of that week, God knew something about Job that Job didn't know about himself. I think also God knew something about Job that Satan didn't know about Job, in that he could withstand that and that he was okay with going through all of the suffering for God's purposes come chapter 42. Yeah. Am I saying that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, if you start breaking down the language of that original scene where basically court is going on in the heavens, which...
So weird.
My gosh, that's strange. But who is there? You have God, who we believe in the Christian worldview, started it all, sustains it all, you know, eternity, all those things. And who's in front of him is the accuser. This is what this name means. And you see this roll out whenever the enemy, Satan, the devil is talked about, the father of lies, the accuser of the brethren in certain translations, the accuser of the people who are following Christ. So when you view it that way, it makes a little bit of a difference, because people often stop at, man, why didn't God just destroy Satan here? But there were larger purposes there. The accuser is sitting in front of God saying, this person's following you, but it's only because of what they have. And I started thinking personally, like, I struggle with that sometimes. Do I follow Christ because I'm an American and my life is honestly pretty comfortable? Mm. Is that all there is to me? Then I go to Job 23:10. That's been a verse for me for a long time. God knows the way that I take, and when God is testing me, I will come forth as gold. Meaning the good stuff that's inside of me that God knows is there through this testing will emerge. Not that it'll be news to God, but it'll be a reminder or news to me. So as the accuser is sitting in front of God saying, this is the only reason that Job follows you, God's like, I know better. Mm-hmm. And we're about to prove that. Not only that, but God, I believe that the purposes of God are layered. And you see this in Jesus just definitively in his life. He's doing one thing and six other things are happening around him at the same time. I think God was saying, I'm about to prove you wrong again, Satan, the one who has betrayed me mm-hmm. and is the accuser of people who are following me. Also, Job's going to learn some things about himself. Also, I'm going to take care of Job's family that dies. People get confused. Job's family didn't die just because Satan had a conversation with God. They were going to die. Their death served a purpose. I mean, again, these are things we can't roll out on stage, but especially as Americans, when a death serves a purpose, we honor that person with a statue. Sure. And we talk about them and sing songs about them. The family of Job stands on the timeline of history, especially the timeline of God's history, as a very sacred people because of the sacrifice that actually was made unknowing to them, you know. So I believe that God rewarded that sacrifice eternally for them. I also believe that we're talking about Job today, holding him up as a standard. Job has a place of privilege. If I believe that the things in my life, especially the most difficult things, were going to bring honor to God thousands of years later, I think I'll walk through that, you know. So it's not that we dodge the whole God-Satan thing, but especially within our context, it's very difficult to go into this lengthy of an explanation about that. But yeah, it was certainly difficult. I remember we were like drawing straws. Who's going to talk about that? Which week is it going to fall? And it fell to you just because of calendaring. And I was like, whew. You deserve it. You picked this series anyway.
Well, and it was funny because you said that I did the Fire Festival thing. I felt like week two and I was having to teach that. Like, I kept popping in your, like, I'm sure you got tired of me. I would pop in your office like, hey, you got a minute? Hey, you got a minute? We need to talk about this whole Satan thing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure. But, you know, when we've gone back to this over and over again, the fact that we have questions makes us human. Here's another thing we want to combat inside the vertical ecosystem, a word I'm using a lot lately. We are people trying to follow God and trying to lead a church at the same time. God has placed a special calling on our life to pay attention to this church and this community more than other people as far as hours are concerned throughout the week. But we are people. we struggle with questions when we approach the Bible. All of us have spent a lot of time trying to understand the Bible very clearly, but it doesn't mean that our questions are erased. It doesn't mean that we have clean answers. That's the tradition that I grew up in. I've got a clean answer for every problem that you may have. And over time, I began to trust that tradition less because they didn't mirror my struggle. You know, so I struggle. What is this? I thought the enemy was thrown out of heaven. Why is he able to cross that barrier and have a conversation with God? I'm a little jealous of that, actually, because he did the ultimate betrayal and he's face to face with God. I'm trying to follow God closely, and most times I feel like I can't hear from him very clearly.
Yeah.
Here they are having it seems like this is a regular thing that occurs, the way the Bible talks about it.
Yeah, and I like the way that worked itself out in this last week. You know, had I actually got to have half an hour to be on a stage, I probably could have spent the extra 20 minutes just bragging on Vertical because, like you said, man, I've been in places where it's a polished answer, and that actually doesn't make that much sense. You know, it's very theological. Oh, well, if you look at this and this, you know, and I love that about Vertical in that we can come here and have questions and say, but we know that we are created to be in a community where we can work out these questions together. And that's the thing that happens between Sundays, right? I see that all the time, and we get to talk about that as a staff all the time. Between Sundays, there are people that are asking us and each other very hard questions, but getting to work that out in the context of life, right?
Yeah.
They get to do life together. And that's something that's so great about Vertical as a church is that they actually carry out living life together on a daily basis. And those questions, while they may be huge when you're looking at Job chapter 1, when you're working them out over 7 days in relationship with one another, it begins to make much more sense. And you begin to learn more truths about God just by spending time with his people.
Yeah.
And that's why I fought to get to teach week 4, right? That was the week I actually wanted in that. Let us brag on Vertical and how well they're doing at this, particularly in this time when we're dealing with a health crisis.
Yeah, what's your take, Megan, on just as far as the correlation between this story and the DNA of our community? I mean, you have, of the people sitting here, the most history with this community. What we're saying, do you find it to be true or wanting, or what's your take?
Yes. It's very much in line with the people that come through the doors and even the people that are on our team. You know, we've all had our struggles. One of the pieces from week 3, your most recent talk on depression, that talk really stuck with me. There's a lot of people in my life that deal with that. There's a lot of people that come through the doors here that deal with that, that are asking hard questions. I dealt with depression, postpartum depression, very recently. And the part of Job where it says, so I looked for good, but evil came instead. I feel like people come here and that's their struggle. They're like, I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to do these things. I'm trying to follow God. And these things just keep crashing down all around me. Why? Why? And they look to us for answers. And we don't have all the answers. We don't want to give them just the polished church answer.
Yeah.
So a lot of us can say, yeah, me too. I've been there. I know. And so that really intrigued me that week, just talking about it. The, you know, women, we're kind of taught to smile, put on the lipstick and just smile and push through it. Men sometimes are taught to just don't show any of the emotion. And so we bury it, and then it explodes later in other behaviors. And that's what we see a lot of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, the self-care versus self-soothing, I was actually taught by my therapist. So that was not original information. But, you know, in summary of really this whole conversation, I think I'm just so very proud of this church and our ability to engage in the mess. Years and years ago, as I was learning this church model, I was actually at a huge conference, and a speaker stood up and said, it was a female, Southern female, and only she could deliver this in this way, but she said, ministry is messy, y'all. I mean, the whole conference was like,
yeah,
yep, yep, worth the ticket right there. But it isn't just ministry, life is messy. And really what we're saying is those two things should be way more codependent than they actually are.
So now we want to transition to another segment on our podcast that we want to call Ask Us Anything. Similar to Ask Me Anything, but you don't make it a acronym. AUA.
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 AUA. That was stupid.
Social distancing is getting weird.
It is. Yeah.
We're all a little crazy.
Awkward now.
If you guys have any questions, you can email them to plus@livevertical.tv. livevertical.tv, not .com, not .org, not .net, not even .gov. We're not that special. .tv.
You can like
even
the call TV it, you watch.
Yes.
Call it Live Vertical. We get that a lot.
Yeah. Spelled the same way. I thought it was live TV when I first started working here.
Yeah.
You applied for the wrong job.
Yeah. Man, I thought I was going to be an actor. Yeah. So we didn't have that many responses, but somebody came through with quite a doozy of a question. Austin has it for us. Austin, you want to read it for us, and then we'll bat it around?
Yeah, Did you just say doozy?
Doozy. He is a grandpa.
What's next?
Dadgum humdinger? Doozy.
Man, it was a humdinger.
Is doozy? What? You guys make fun of weird things.
Whatever. Exactly. All right.
One thing we won't make fun of is this question sent to us.
And by the way, I'm not answering this first. Somebody else is going to take it.
I vote Megan.
Yes.
Oh,
deal.
No.
So the question that we got, and like Chase said, we got several, but the one that we want to really was probably the hardest that we got, and so we're just going to bat around, is this. It said, in relation to the Job series, it was obviously God's will for Job to go through the trials that he did, since God basically told the devil, have at him. But the question is it always God's will when tragedy occurs in our lives? Is it always God's will when tragedy occurs in our lives?
All right, take it away, Megan.
Wow, guys, this is a lot of pressure. You promise not to fire me if
You're the one that fires people. Well,
Chase is our producer, so if you really mess this up, he'll just cut it out.
I'll just cut it, yeah.
Yeah, good.
So if it's still in, way to go, Megan.
From what I understand, not saying this is the scholarly...
Definitive
answer, is that, you know, all the way back in Genesis, things happened that caused God to change how the world worked, and this thing called free will came into play. So do I believe that God's will be done? I'm saying will a lot. Yes.
Yes.
I believe when it comes down to the end, God's will, that will be done. But we also have to invite that into our lives. Mm. I remember growing up, my grandfather, my papa, used to always say, if it's the good Lord's will, I'll see you tomorrow. Gosh.
Oh, yeah, before you leave the house.
Oh, yeah. If it's the good Lord's will, we're going to do this. Yeah. And
the good Lord.
Now I truly understand what that means. He was inviting the good Lord's will into his life all the time. But no, I don't believe that it's God's will for me to live like hell for several years of my life. That was not his will, but that was my choosing because he gave me free will. His will for my life is to follow him, and eventually I did. But had I not chosen that, his will would still happen in the end, but not right now.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, that experience in your life, although you wouldn't necessarily choose parts of it again, has created color and dynamic in your story that allows you to present God in a more clear way to other people.
Yes.
But if someone had sat down with you when you were meeting with that group of moms and said that to you, you would have been like, what?
No way.
Yeah. So the question kind of, it makes you roll back and give some understanding based on your own story. But I think I'm with you so far. I can go on in that part of the answer. How about you?
Leave it
Austin?
In.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is something that we talked a lot about in the Job series. And I'm not going to say it's up in the air. But I think that maybe the way that I think about it has changed a little bit. I'll say this. I think from looking at Job's story and just kind of God in the Bible, you can pull a couple of things. The way that God interacts with sin is typically threefold. He either stops sin, which we see when somebody is outright sinning against him or his people in Scripture, and it's egregious, he stops it. He can allow it, which I think is what happened with Satan. He allowed that to take place in Job's life. And three, we also saw this in Job's life, he can use it, which is what we were just talking about in Megan's story. So he either stops it, allows it, and sometimes when he allows it, he uses it. And so I think that everything is working towards God's will, like Megan just said. Really, we can't even fight that. It's all working towards God's will at the end of the day. but he interacts with it a couple of different ways, and only his will can determine which way he does that.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to answer that. Mm-hmm. I think part of what the question implies we need to call out is a little bit of frustration, I think. Like, how does God really participate when this really crappy stuff happens in my life? What's this about? Is he standing back enjoying it? Is he begrudgingly allowing it? How does this go? Part of what I have to do with this question is go to Jesus, which is part of what I do in everything, actually. If Jesus is who he says he is, and I'm able to watch him interact with God's creation, like, that's my main source of information. A lot of people differ with that because they want to get into intellectual arguments that a guy named Paul is a little bit more ability to do. You know, Jesus engaged in arguments, but he also solved them pretty quickly. Paul kind of rumbles around with them for a while. But I see Jesus interact with difficult things that happen around him with emotion.
Yeah.
And that allows me to bring God in a little bit closer. I don't believe that God had a conversation about Job and then just went about his business and kind of shows back up in chapter 42. I believe that God was very close to this situation, that God also experienced emotion based on what Job was going through.
Yeah.
So you get more of a picture of a parental guiding than you do God being this distant God who just slings out tragedy or allows tragedy. I believe if you look at the ultimate thing that happened based on Genesis, Job is sitting there. Actually, it's a really old story, but in our Bible, he's sitting after that first story. You see that God knew in the garden that this was going to cost his son the most.
Mm-hmm.
So having that backdrop helps me understand the tragedy that I'm going through right now. A, I don't think we're very good at assigning what is actually tragedy and what isn't.
Mm.
But if let's assume that we are going through something that is really tragic, which does happen, I think we tend to blame God, and that forces God to be at a distance. But if we dig a little bit deeper, we understand there are decisions that I've made sometimes that have led to this tragedy. There are also decisions that other people have made that have led to this tragedy. In order for me to be able to love God completely, though, this has to be a part of my life experience. If not, we're all in the matrix. Mm. And that's even a bigger deal, you know? So this question really attacks how you view God in general, but
it's all part of the simulation.
Yeah. And this question is only okay to rumble around because I just agreed to that. this question only rumbles around this way because none of us are currently sitting in tragedy. The language of tragedy sounds, and we tried to point this out in the series, sounds very different than an intellectual argument, you know? But we do need to be ready for the answer, like, did God cause this? Did it allow it? Is he going to use it? And figure out in those relationships, okay, this is how we believe the God of Christianity interacts with his children in times of difficulty. He will show up. Job tells us that. He will show up. He will have an answer. And that answer, if interpreted correctly, will be comforting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you say it well in that we get a better look of it when we see Jesus. And that's kind of how we view the Old Testament, right? We see God at a distance in the Old Testament, but the fact that he sent his son gives us an up close and personal, this is the best view of God that we have, and he's also human, so it's the best way that we know to react to God when we see that Jesus interacts with God, right?
Absolutely.
And that's exactly how he took on pain and hurt when he was in his ministry, is this is real, and he was emotional. We see his friend Lazarus pass away. You talked about that a few weeks ago, you know? Mm-hmm. He knew what God was using that for. Mm-hmm. But he was still emotional. And I have to imagine that when he's watching Job go through this, although we don't see it in the story of Job, he was bragging on Job at the beginning. He and Job were very close. So watching Job go through this, I don't imagine God was having an easy time with that, but he knew what was coming eventually through that.
Yes. I mean, if you take it all the way to its end here, he knew that there would be people discussing it on a microphone and someone in their daily life listening to it, gaining strength for the journey. And that person who's hearing this right now matters to God and mattered to God before they were even born. That's also biblical. But I want to challenge people in this answer that they do need to go to that story and read that story over and over and over again. The death of one of Jesus's closest friends, how he interacted with that family, the things that he said, it just adds a little bit more texture to the story of Job to see Jesus go through something very similar. Jesus actually delays getting to the family. The family accuses Jesus. If you had just cared more, you would have been here. I mean, they're very parallel stories that help us get some, I think, more detailed answer, because Jesus did that for us. Gives us more detailed answer than maybe what that those 42 chapters of Job will give us.
All right. Now the most exciting portion of your weekly dose of Vertical, except this is the first week, so it could never be weekly. This may be the only one. Who knows?
Who knows?
But we wanted to introduce something we're going to call our weekly recommends. We are a very cultured people here at Vertical. It's vastly different interest, and this is sounding like I'm being sarcastic, and it kind of was, but now it's not, because we do have a lot of different interest. And a lot of time, we spend a lot of time sharing that with each other. That's like a large portion of, honestly, our work life. It's sharing what we're interested in.
Yeah.
But I think it's exciting, and I think it can be good. One way that we're going to unveil it, Austin, was it you that came up with the deal, or was it Ben?
Well, it wasn't either of us. We were trying to plan out this recommends thing, and we're actually going to be using the Janus method.
And who's Janus? Let's start with that.
I'll let Ben talk about Janus.
Well, she's world famous, especially for her view of Christmas, which she and I share. That's a long backstory.
Of course.
But she has a way that she goes about, and I forget who she got this from, but goes about making Christmas attainable.
Mm-hmm.
And each person in the family gets parameters around their gifts. You get a gift that is something you want, a gift that is something you need, a gift that is something you can wear, and then something that you can read.
Hmm.
So very like Dr. Seuss.
And we thought that that would be very applicable for the new lives that we're leading in quarantine mode.
Yes.
Because
so, yeah, collectively we're saying, thanks, Janus.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks, Janus.
Thanks, Janus, for this portion of the Vertical Plus podcast.
Megan didn't
She will
it.
Probably never hear this, will she?
Thanks,
no.
Thanks, Janus.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that she won't hear this. But
so the way we're going to do it, if I can take over here, Ben, is... there's four
options.
How long
have you been waiting to do that?
My whole life. There's four options there. We have the ability to do all four if we want to. We can give a recommend for each of those four categories. Or we can just do one, or two, or three. Cool?
Sounds
there's
great.
There's your parameters. Ben will probably almost always have four, because that's just who he is.
Just
he's
that
an
kind
overachiever.
Of guy.
Overachiever.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Ben, do you want to go first?
No, I think I don't want to fill all the time, so I'm so interested in hearing the others.
All right, fine. Yeah. I have one, but the way I'm going to hype it up, it could take a minute.
It better be good if it is just one.
Oh, you're going to hate it,
okay.
But other people may like it. So given the situation that we're in now at the time of recording, March 24th, 2020, year of our Lord.
Lockdown
Central. My wife and I have been having to share our Netflix interest as of late. And I didn't intentionally mean to get involved with this show. I think this falls under want, because you want entertainment.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Definitely want entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there's a show that Rachel started when we were dating, you know, a couple months ago. just kidding, 2 years ago. But it's a show called Jane the Virgin. All right, and the title leads you to believe some things that are true about the show, but it takes a whole different direction. Granted, I've only watched most of season 5.
I'm already uninterested.
Chase,
I know.
This is such a good show. I'm so excited that you're into it.
I have to admit, Chase told me this a couple of days ago, and last night I hit a real Netflix slump, and we started watching it, and we've made it a couple episodes in.
It is the peak of quirky.
Yes.
The peak. But dadgummit, this show is so good. It's a mocking of like a telenovela, which is a Spanish soap opera. Except it's still a telenovela, but it's an Americanized version. It's really meta. It's deep, but it's really fun. Granted, I'm only going to watch season 5 because I can't watch the last season of a show and then watch the previous four. It just feels weird because I've been asking Rachel too many questions during the portion of our watching time, but you owe it to yourself to not go to season 5, start with season 1, start from the beginning, and get to know Jane and her story, because it is worth your time, and you have nothing but time.
You should really watch it from the beginning.
Yes.
You really should.
Oh,
Chase.
No, I won't.
Chase, you should.
I refuse. I have my methods.
This segment is going all sorts of ways. I wish it wasn't.
But it is very authentic to how these conversations typically go. If anybody's going to come in and pitch that show on a Tuesday, it's Chase.
It's Chase.
You're welcome.
And if he's going to be accurate about my initial response, that's you are dead on. I'm like, never going to watch this.
Yeah, you'll never watch it, but that's okay.
I don't know. I may now. I mean, this is public. I may have to.
You are a spiteful person. You might just do it out of spite.
I'm like, no, I actually loved it. So, yeah.
Take that.
Yeah.
Intern.
All right, so there you go. You got your major statement.
Yeah, I got my fill.
Okay.
I say Austin goes next.
Okay. You did want, so...
Yeah.
They've been making fun of me all week because they're like, you have to read books. but I have been reading a good book. So you can
what
get...
What a nerd.
I know. You can get it. I wouldn't advise you going to like Barnes & Noble to get it because hashtag social distancing, but you can get it on Kindle. It's a book that I've been reading this week by a guy named Buster Benson. It's called Why Are We Yelling? And it's on the art of having basically healthy arguments. And so he takes examples.
Are those a thing?
Yeah, I know, right? Again, we have them here all the time.
Yes, we do.
He takes on things as trivial as, like, are ghosts real, to as controversial as gun control laws. And he basically brings people in and shows them how to have healthier arguments to actually come up on discussions that are meaningful and not just hate-filled, right? And I think probably I really like it because it's very practical. And he brings up that in any argument or discussion, people argue out of either head knowledge, their heart, how they feel about things, or their hands, how practical it actually is to follow through on these things. And so he does a great job. It's super short. It's only like 200 something pages, and it's really, really good.
Don't even say it. Super short. I was expecting like a pamphlet. Super short, 250 pages.
It's really good, though.
But it's size like 24 font. So it's just
your are there a lot pages of pictures?
Yeah.
How long does it take you to read a book that long?
I don't know, because I'm reading a couple of other books too.
Yeah, I do that. So, Guilty.
Yeah. So there's that one. I don't know. What are the others? Need?
Won't need, where read. So you did read.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I need lately, and I'm ashamed at this. My mother-in-law was at my house last week, and she brought bags and bags of those Dots pretzels. I don't know if you've had those.
Oh, my kids are addicted to those things. Oh, I think the Pet Yaks got us started on that.
They're so good.
I've been doing like 8 at-home workouts to keep up with the amount of Dots pretzels that I'm eating in a day. It's ridiculous.
Forget calorie burn. You're counting it in dots.
It's horrible. It's terrible. Yeah, okay. That's all I got.
Great. Pretty that solid. Was a great recommend. Don't let
I already like
right
yours
there.
Better than Chase's, but we'll continue.
Yeah.
Oh, I like his hair better than yours. So.
Let's go around the circle. So,
so I'm next.
Ouch. Hey. Yeah.
I have all 4.
Oh my gosh. Wait,
the 1/3.
Yeah. Already in a
Type
list.
1.
Medalist.
Alphabetical.
So, want right now, although you guys will probably combat me a little and say that my want and my need are mixed up, but my want, I really want a housekeeper right now. There are 3 teenagers home all day, every day, doing schoolwork and eating a lot, and so
I bet your house smells
keep
funky.
Up after that.
Yeah, considering
it smells like
two of
boy,
them are 15-year-old
especially
boys.
One side of the house just smells like teenage boy. Just I don't even know how to describe that smell. They have candles though, so it's like the candle scent trying to overpower.
Oh, it's that middle school locker room smell.
I diffuse a lot of oils to try and help. So a housekeeper would be fantastic, but social distancing wouldn't even allow that. The need, my loaded teas from Stat Nutrition. Ugh. Shout out to our Stat Nutrition people. They actually go to
fans
church
of those
here.
Guys. They're not awesome. As big a fan as you with my pocketbook, but definitely big fans.
Yes, that's why I said the want and the need could go back and forth, and my husband argues that it's not a need, but I have a budget for it, so it's okay.
Hey, if it's an addiction, you need it.
That's right.
Exactly, I need it.
I'll admit sometimes I go in to buy one of those just to talk to them.
Yes.
What a cool couple.
They're awesome. They're awesome. We should have Tyler on here one day.
Yeah, yeah. Tyler does great on podcasts.
We should.
Crazy, crazy experience in his life he's had. So
yeah. See? Look at me. I'm having good ideas.
Wow.
Megan's winning.
She needed
Where?
Who's surprised?
What?
Go ahead.
Where?
What?
Wearing. Okay. So my favorite things that everyone should know about if you have hair, for all the ladies that are listening, are the ponytail holders from H&M.
Ponytail holders from H&M.
They're $3 for this huge pack of them, but they don't pull your hair. They work really well. They're this soft material. Can't even describe them. But I'm gonna get your wives all these ponytail holders, and then y'all can fill them.
Maybe that was my mistake. I didn't use the proper type of ponytail holder.
That's why you don't have enough hair. Yeah. You could do a beard ponytail. Yeah.
Oh man, if that happens. All right. So what? I'm confused about where we are now. We did.
She's on read now.
I'm on read.
You did where? Okay, now you're on read.
And I'll hurry. I know. We need to hurry. Typically, I love reading a lot of life stories, like memoirs, because people's stories just fascinate me. I love to learn more about people and different experiences. But right now, because of where we are, I'm reading a lot of financial articles and leadership and homeschool mom articles. Probably just stressing myself out a little bit more. But yeah. That's what we're reading.
Man, we're all in our devices more, aren't we?
Not me.
Okay, so is it my turn? This is what everyone's waiting on.
Yes, Ben.
I'm reading the same amount, Austin says. Okay, here's something I want. I want one of those extra grates for my green egg, which I got secondhand, by the way.
Oh.
But I'm getting pretty frustrated and starting these fires and cooking a little bit when I'm like, man, if I could just have another grate, I could cook more for the rest of it, because my children are devouring the groceries that are at our house right now. So that's what I'll make that as a want, because I definitely don't need that. What I need is a beard trim, because I'm getting to that stage where it's hard to drink coffee, and brushing my teeth, the toothpaste gets caught in the mustache before I get actually to brushing my teeth. I wake up in the morning and I look like, what's the Dr. Seuss character?
The Lorax.
Yeah. I definitely look, it's very hard for my family to take me seriously unless I do something with that.
Like Groucho Marx.
Yeah. Yeah. My beard actually takes a lot of work. It isn't just like this naturally. Yeah. So
you're not the only one. I woke up this morning. My wife was like, so is Andrew quarantined? Is he still cutting hair?
My wife said, she read a post that said, it's happening, y'all. In 3 weeks, we're going to know everybody's real hair color. So I thought that was pretty funny. Okay, so we have the want, the need. The where, I'm just going to say I'd like more exercise gear, because I'm living in that now, in the at-home phase that we're in.
You need a nice robe.
Yeah, I think a robe would be fantastic that you could wear in the summer here. That would be interesting.
Ben would never wear a robe.
Oh, yeah. Ben's getting older. He could wear a robe and, like, grocery shop, and that would be great.
Only if I had leather slippers, but that's another podcast. So, read. Right now, I'm reading a book by one of my personal heroes, Henry Nouwen. I talk about him a lot every chance I get. He's one of those guys that embraced struggle, did it really well. He's got a book called Discernment, which has been very helpful for me. The idea of how do you figure out where God is in the things that are going on around you. Mm-hmm. It's been very timely for me. In times of stress, I get extremely heady. So to have a guy like not judge me for that, just open his book and he's like, oh yeah, I'm heady too in times of stress. Let's talk it out. He's very six for me, which allows me to not force you guys to be that every day, all day. Yeah. So I would recommend it for people who are kind of up in their mind about how to get a little bit of clarity in the chaos that we're in right now based on COVID. So
good stuff.
Great.
Janice will be proud.
There you go.
I knew you would. Now I'm going to end this thing.